Good evening, guys. This is Auntie's Blog back with another episode. We have Michael Logan tonight from New York Life Insurance, and we will be discussing life insurance because you guys don't understand the importance of life insurance and having it. Tired of seeing fish fries and car washes when you can go and get you some life insurance. Are y'all here with me tonight?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yep, I'm here. I just have background noise, so I'm muted.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and let our guest introduce himself, give us a quick little, small little background about you so the airways can hear.
Okay. I am Michael of New York Life, as you know. Let me see. I started off as a life insurance agent. Now I'm a full service financial advisor. I guess that's all I got. Like I live in Florence, Alabama, by way of Detroit.
Okay. So I really hold on. I just had it up. It just disappeared. You really sound like you sell life insurance, bro. I'm not even gonna lie to you. like you,
I'm
like when I would call and like you when I before I got a job that had life like that had insurance. Yes, you look nice, mom. Okay, you look nice, mom. Before I got a job and was able to get insurance, I would call multiple insurance companies, and they were so monotone, like, y'all see Monsters, Inc., the lady that sits behind the desk, like, just so.
Hold on, you're not going to call me that. Like, it's not what you're going to do tonight.
It's like, let's get this over with and let's be done with it. But, okay, let me stop.
Right,
I'm sorry, y'all.
Go.
I'm so crazy.
So,
please. and all that. So, life insurance. Boom.
Okay, so
Mom,
life insurance is basically is the cornerstone of any good financial plan, right? Am I on hold?
What
did
you say?
Or
repeat that.
I said life insurance is the cornerstone of any good financial plan.
Okay.
Because you get the most amount of money for the least amount of money, right? So. I like to tell people like this, like if you have investments and let's say you put $1,000 a month in any investment account, you got a 401k, a Roth, a traditional, wherever you're putting it, mutual funds, it doesn't matter. You're putting that $1,000 a month in there. Let's say you make it 2 years in and then you become disabled or you die. You can't go to the bank. You can't go to your job. You can't go to whoever you're investing your money with to ask them to keep putting that money back for you. You see what I'm saying? You invest
okay, what type of life insurance is this that you're speaking of right now? Is this term or?
Okay, so there are two types of life insurance. I like to put them in two categories because it's easy. You have.
Okay.
Term insurance or renting insurance, right? Because you only get to keep it for a little bit of time, right?
Okay,
you,
so go over that one first.
It's meant to price you out.
Go over that one first. The term renting insurance. Go over that first.
Okay, so term insurance is pretty straightforward. It's in the name. It's a term, right? So you get to keep this insurance for a term. So whatever you choose, most companies start between 10 and 20 year. Terms and some go up to even 30. Some let you pick however many years. Like you can get a 17-year term just in case you have like a 17 years left on your mortgage. Okay. So what it is it has no living benefit. You have to die to collect the money. Right? So
okay.
The term is really cheap, but there are no dividends, no cash, no nothing. It's meant to protect your family in the event that you're not here anymore. Let's say you have, you get married and you have a wife, you have two kids, you go and buy a $250,000 house, and you got two $40,000 cars. Let's say you make it 2 years into your marriage and you pass away. term insurance is meant to protect that debt. So if you had, let's say you needed $1 million in term, you go and get $1 million in term, it wouldn't cost you more than, if you're a younger person, it's probably about $100, $150 a month. But it's for peace of mind.
So you want to get term insurance?
Go ahead.
I was adding on reasons why you may want to get term insurance. Like, say, if you had a certain amount of time that you're paying off a mortgage or you have a business venture, basically you have a certain time period within your life that you feel as though you need term insurance in order to cover you if something happens. So a lot of people, like, for me, I didn't understand what the fucking point of term insurance was. I think it's, like, what? But it basically factors, and you can always convert it to permanent life insurance. It becomes more expensive. And, of course, the older you get, the more expensive the term life insurance costs.
Right.
But in my opinion, whole life insurance is the way to go because there's so many other side benefits. You can get dividends. You can, you know, that's the next subject. But term insurance still can protect you during a certain period of time within your life. So
right.
It isn't the worst. It's just, and it is cheaper as far as looking at it right then. But in longevity, it's not. It really isn't. It's not the same as
whole life
insurance.
Well, yeah, term insurance, like I said, is renting insurance. So you lose that money that you invest into it. Even though it is cheaper, you still lose that money. So if you're paying $150 a month for that $1 million face, you got it for 20 years to match your mortgage, you know what I'm saying? It's going to make sure your kids get through college if you're not here. It's going to make sure that house is paid off if you're not here, all of that good stuff. But if you don't die, you lose that money, which nobody wants to die. So they're banking on you not dying. Only 3% of term policies ever pay out. They either convert or they cancel.
And that's why there's, well, you're not going to die, like you said, within a certain amount of time. So really, honestly, if you're not doing any major big-ass deals, or major, I would say go with whole life insurance. It's just a lot more that you can do with the whole life insurance policy that's beneficial
to you. Yeah,
honestly,
if you're a business owner, I would say you go whole life either way. You know what I'm saying? If you're doing the deal and you're a business owner, go with whole life because you get your money back. You know what I mean? Like, it has a living benefit. A lot of companies have a custom pay period for their whole life policies. So the money that you're putting into it, you can actually choose how many years. You can choose it like a term, 20 years. It'll be more expensive because you chose the amount of years, but you can pay it up in that amount of years. And the better insurance companies have a participating dividend. Usually those are mutual companies.
New York Life has a good participating dividend. Decent. They've been cashing out for, like, over, it's a really long period of time in which they've been able to give their participants dividends, but they're not saying you about to get $1 million check, but it's still a decent company to go with. And like another thing with permanent life insurance,
New York Life, I work there, but I also broken for about 80 other different companies, and by far New York Life is the best participating dividend that's out there, right? Let me see, we've been paying a dividend for 164 straight years. And 170-year-old company. So I can't say it's guaranteed, but like clockwork, it gets paid.
I said nah, because doesn't it depend on how well it's the company is doing that they can give you a dividend? So if they
it's a mutual company. So when we make every year, we make money. So instead of paying stockholders, we pay you because you are the stockholder.
Okay, exactly. Yeah, that's how it goes. Thank you for explaining that. And also, would you mind capitalizing more on whole life insurance and the benefits of whole life insurance and kind of pushing and telling people how essentially important life insurance is beyond just you dying?
Okay.
I wanted to also to cut right. into after you go over the whole life insurance, when you do finally, die and it's time to go and collect and you pay for a funeral. I want to touch into that too, and the average cost of the funeral, because I have a sheet down, literally the prices of how much a funeral can cost you that I'm going to share with y'all. But go ahead and break down the
What you just said would be quicker, so I'll break that down first. So the average cost of a funeral right now in the United States, in all states combined, is $15,000, right? In 30 years, it's going to double, right? So whatever something costs now because of inflation, every 30 years will double. So it's $15,000 right now. We project it to be $30,000 by the time we're about, you know, we get about 60. So if you're buying life insurance just strictly for burial, you need about $30,000 to $40,000 to bury yourself. And you want to make sure that you buy whole life insurance because it's in the name. You get to keep that insurance for your whole life. You get to lock in the price right now. It never changes and it never goes up. You're never healthier than you are today. And life insurance is sold on two pillars. It's age and health. So you're never younger than you are today, and you're never healthier than you are right now.
And don't smoke. Do not fucking smoke, y'all. For real. Like, do not smoke cigarettes.
If you smoke, it's going to cost a little bit more. But the good thing about New York Life and some other insurance companies is that if you quit, you can always go back and go through underwriting again, and you can get your smoker rating taken off at the age that you applied for previously.
A is lit. And it's
okay,
lit?
So...
I said it's lit. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm really tired. I'm trying. I'm really trying.
Oh, go ahead, Michael. Finish.
Okay. So,
it's been a long week. We all had a rough week, but go ahead, Mike.
So let me see where we at. Let's go over whole life, I guess, and all the living benefits that come with it. It's a pretty deep subject, right? So I believe whole life insurance should be where you start your investment portfolio. The reason why is because it's leverage, right? So whole life with a participating dividend is leverage because you don't know if you're going to make it all the way through your life, right? If you have the money, you start off with whole life as an investment because also that money, when you go to take it out later, is tax-free in the form of policy loans, right? So if you take loans against your policy, the cash value built up in your policy, the government cannot tax that unless you take over 94% of the money. So some people say, well, what if I want the other 6%? Well, if you want to be an asshole, then they're going to tax you. But the 94% dividend, up to 94% of the dividend can be taken out of that policy. So what happens is with New York Life, and this is the only dividend insurance I decided to sell, you can take up to 94%. But also every year we give you 4 to 5% on your money. And that's tax-free, so it's like getting 6 to 7% in the market. And if you know anything about the market, the average over a 20-year investment cycle on return is 7%. So basically, you're getting the same return that you would get in the market in life insurance if you waited 20 years, whatever money you're investing monthly. Also, another thing that we have in New York Life is what's called a disability or premium waiver. So New York Life, if you ever become totally disabled and a doctor says so, New York Life will pay that insurance for you, dividends and all, if you become totally disabled. Now, that's a big deal because plenty of people don't make it to see, you know, their retirement age at 65, 70 years old. But it's also more people that make it to see that age but become disabled, you know, part of the way through, and they don't have a way to continue to invest in their retirement. But with New York Life, we take care of that eventuality for you, right? Another reason that people use whole life insurance, if you ever heard of – I know y'all heard of O.J. Simpson, and you know the trial and everything, and Nicole Brown's family, the Brown family took – basically all his money, right? when he won the criminal case, but he lost the civil suit. With life insurance, we wrap your money in a bulletproof vest so that no creditors, no judgments, nothing can touch that money because it's your life insurance money. So OJ has something similar to what New York Life has, and that's why, like, 2 weeks later, you saw him out. He was driving an Escalade. He bought a house. He's on a golf course because they can't touch that money because it's technically loan money. You know what I mean? Yeah, so it wraps the bulletproof vest around your money. It protects your money if you're disabled. It leverages your family's future if you die. You know what I mean? It's almost foolproof, right? So that's why I tell people to always start your investment portfolio with life insurance. Like, I'm licensed to sell. You know, I got my 6 and 63. I'm working on my 7. Like, I'm working, like, but if I'm starting anybody off in investments, I always start with life insurance because it lays the foundation, right? You know you're going to have, quote-unquote, if I could call it guaranteed, it would be the best fixed product on the market. You know what I mean? It is ridiculous, the return versus the risk. And that's what people got to understand about investing. It's return versus risk. There's virtually no risk, and you're going to get a return, especially with New York Life, just because we've always paid that dividend. The only time the dividend wasn't paid was during the Civil War, and they doubled it the next year.
Okay, so I had a question. Fuck. I know I'm trying to remember it. So I'm gonna hop into the funerals real quick not real quick because I think the funerals are important. So obviously it's important for anybody to have any type of life insurance, and that's not even only just to cover funerals. It's money to cover, expenses and stuff like that. That somebody leaves behind. Because when you die, your debt don't die with you. I'm just letting you know. So
if you're
you
married,
gotta pay.
No.
Right, right. And, sometimes that stuff. And then, like, if your parents got a power of attorney over you, you die, whatever you had is now theirs. So it's important to have it. So when it comes down to a funeral and it's time to cash out, how does that work?
So what happens is when you die, you report it to the insurance company. You let them know immediately when the person dies, like within the next few days. And then you work on getting a death certificate. Now, that's dependent on your state, county, city type thing. But the insurance company will start processing it, the check immediately. The good thing about the life insurance is if you have a beneficiary posted, you don't have to go through probate, right? And I don't know if anybody here has ever been through probate, but it is a pain in the ass. You have to basically have the courts decide who gets the money, and then they tax it, and then you have to pay a court fee. With life insurance, it doesn't have to go through probate, and that money is tax-free. So, like I said in the beginning, life insurance is the way you get the most amount of money for the least amount of money. So when you invest in life insurance, you can use it for, like, a lot of people don't realize that, especially in our community, white people use life insurance for generational wealth. They put a lot of their money into life insurance, especially whole life insurance, to leave their kids behind a legacy, whether they live a good long life or not.
So that's what white people be doing. This is why they doing what they doing. They buying life insurance policies. Now, how many? Oh, that's why. This is what I wanted to ask. How many life insurance policies can one person have on them? And do you need? Can you shut the fuck up? I'm not finished. And do you need authorization to actually get life insurance on that person?
Okay, so if you're getting life insurance on a child, you don't need authorization. But what you do need is you need to have as much life insurance or more than a child you're getting it on. If you're with a significant other, some companies will let you sign for up to $50,000 in life insurance for them. But anything above that, if you're their spouse, that is, anything above that is not allowed. So the person has to agree to it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you can have as many life insurance policies as you want.
As long as there's
like
authorization
said,
on it.
Yeah, if you like I have to like if me and you were married, I would have to sign it. But other than that, it's fine. You can have as many as you want. You don't have to authorize it or anything. You just have to make it through underwriting and the medical.
Now, why the hell do people have like 5 life insurance policies on them?
Because you buy them over time.
Huh?
You buy them over time, like when you can afford it. So I have a guy I inherited from somebody else. He was passed down to me from my agent that retired. He has 17 life insurance policies. And
okay,
all of them
why?
Are his whole life. Because over time, he just kept buying more life insurance.
But why?
So
it's like
he's
people are addicted to buying life insurance. Like, this is really
no,
something.
No, what's the benefit of buying multiple policies versus putting all that money into one policy?
Because you can't put it, once you buy a policy, like, you can't add more money to that policy. You just go buy another policy. Unless you put money into the back-end account, into the paid-up additions. But what will happen then is because you're putting too much money in the back end of a policy, it'll become what's called a modified endowment contract when you go to take some of that money out, right? So you don't want to do that. And you will have to pay taxes on that money when you go to take it out. See, what he's doing is he's stocking up on all his life insurance so that when he leaves, he can leave each one of his children $1 million. He has 4 kids, so he has $4 million total in life insurance. And it's all whole life.
Oh, now,
yep.
How much does that monthly payment cost?
His monthly payment right now is about, I think it's like $1,700 a month.
All for
but
all
he
of
has
them.
$4 million in total coverage.
Woo, child.
Yeah, and
And he could also borrow against it, like he could take out. Is that what you meant by white people who use it as generational wealth? Is in the sense they buy multiple policies and they borrow against it
and
to
if
fund their kids
money,
through college?
He can always
buy
go there.
Okay, so basically, and then could you speak on like riders that in addition to life insurance? I was going to ask that earlier when you said with New York Life they have where if you become disabled, you don't necessarily die. They pay out the remainder of your insurance and, you know, have benefits to where you're covered. Is that an additional
right.
policy attached to your life insurance policy? And can you highlight different riders that you can attach versus just getting a basic whole life insurance policy?
Okay, so different companies all have different riders, right? I'll talk about some of the ones that I know about from all the companies that I've brokered for. New York Life has a disability waiver premium. A lot of companies have that. They might call it something different. They call it a policy waiver or whatever. What it does is it makes sure that if you become disabled, that they will pay the policy for the rest of your working life. Okay? So they will pay it until retirement age. So retirement age is right now for us. It's looking like it's going to be 67. So your life will pay. Yeah, which,
I'm losing hope.
No, like it's like we'll go over tax diversification later, but New York Life will pay that until 67. A lot of companies, some companies will pay it until death. You know what I mean? So, but a lot of those companies don't have dividends. So, you know, your policy doesn't go up, the cash value doesn't go up, but they'll pay your life insurance policy for life, right? New York Life has something called paid up additions. A lot of companies have it, but What that is it takes your dividends and it adds more insurance to what you currently have on the face over time. So New York Life's payout additions also add cash value to your policy. So like I said, it's 4 to 5% on whatever your investment was that year normally. 4% for the older crowd and 5% for people under 50. So how that works is whatever you paid in for that year, it will increase your face value and also your cash value by 45% of whatever it is. So let's say you had a face value of $100,000, and at the end of that year, it'll go up 5%. So instead of being $100,000, it'll be $105,000. And so on and so forth over time.
I was going
to
ask.
I'm trying to think all the different waivers, all the different riders. Most companies have what's called a child rider. So you can add your children onto your life insurance policy until they turn 25 now. Yeah, until they turn 25. So what you do is you just add it on when you're applying for insurance. And you have to have at least one child when you're doing it, but any child that you have after that is added. Let me see. New York Life has what's called a critical illness rider, and what that is basically long-term care insurance. I don't know if people know much about long-term care, but that's more in the health realm than life insurance. But if you become hurt, disabled, you need a hospice nurse, you need to go into assisted living, any of that, you can use your life insurance money, and not just the cash value, but actually the face value, up to 90% of your face value, to go into a nursing home or a rehab center if you get hurt. We have spouse riders. What happens is your spouse, if you die, can use part of the money to purchase a life insurance policy for themselves without any medical questions, no questions asked. They just take a portion of the money and purchase a life insurance policy, and that's their policy until they die, but they get to keep the remaining portion of whatever money is left. There are riders out behind. It just depends on, I guess, what your preference is. Some of them are gimmicky, not gonna lie. The only riders I usually use when I'm writing for somebody, they have children. If they can't afford to get their kids their own life insurance policy, I usually add a child rider, and I always put on the rider for disability of the disability waiver premium. Just because you don't know what's going to happen, and nobody needs to lose their life insurance because they can't pay it.
Okay, y'all got any more questions? Because I'm about to do this real quick. So, about the funeral. Oh, wait, no, actually, you were going to go over the taxes, investing diversification. You were going to touch on that from the episode that we did, the tax portion of it, since we missed that.
Yeah, okay, so...
Okay, so yeah, do that.
I believe y'all talked about tax reinvestments on that, and usually that's a Roth or municipal bonds, right? So with a Roth, you have a contribution limit, which is usually about $5,500 a year, or you make too much money and you can't contribute to a Roth at all. That is a good problem to have, but it's still a problem if you're trying to put money back for your retirement and have it tax-free. Right now, taxes are at an all-time low. So what you want to do is you want to pay your taxes now rather than later, okay? So with cash value life insurance, whole life, what happens is you put that money into a life insurance policy, and there isn't a contribution limit. You can put as much as you want into a cash value life insurance policy, right? So what will happen is whatever you choose to invest In 20 years, it'll double, and in 30 years, it'll triple, right? And you can take that money upon retirement, and if you leave it in the account with New York Life, you know, it'll grow even more while it's sitting in that account. While you're taking it, it'll grow after. What exactly is the, I got to find a way to say it so that y'all understand it. It'll grow. So if you have $1 million in cash, right, it'll grow at $1 million no matter how much money you take out of it. So that 5% will jump off of that $1 million. Even though over the last couple of years you might have taken $200,000 out, it'll still grow like it's $1 million in there.
And that's
for
investing.
Question.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, go ahead, Taylor.
You said that was for investing?
Yeah, that's for the investing.
Yeah, but a lot of people use that as an investment vehicle.
Yeah, that's basically what I was highlighting, because that was one thing that like New York Life kind of highlighted was the fact you could take your insurance, your life insurance policy, and utilize that money that you're not really necessarily needing on a day-to-day basis to invest in stocks,
right,
and invest into different portfolios, and also have like a mutual fund. I know that's becoming that's 401k. That's not life insurance. Scratch up.
Yes, it is actually is what's called a variable UL. So what that is it's a market product, but it's backed by life. It has a life insurance face, right? But what it is we put it in the market, we put it in a mutual fund, we put it in whatever. Like if you wanted to be in high yield bonds, you can put it in whatever. But the life insurance is protection for that money, right? So if you're not here, if you die early, that life insurance will come in, swoop in, and take care of you. And that money will be tax-free at the end. But there's no contribution limit.
So you can continuously put money in it?
Right. But the only problem with the variable UL is it is in the market. So it is a bit of a gamble, but not as much as, say, if you went and you just started investing in different stocks without researching them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Taylor knows all about investing. Does it make sense?
Only reason I'm not chatting about this life insurance is because I'm a zombie right now, or else I'd be more engaged. I'm sorry that you got whacker, Kayla. My bad.
It's okay. Okay, so y'all. Okay, so I got this pamphlet, right?
Okay.
And it's about funerals. And I'm like, I was looking at the prices when I got it, and I'm like, bro, why the fuck does it cost so much to fucking die? So, like, okay, for instance, you gotta pay for embalming and all the other stuff, because everybody, I don't know, have y'all been seeing the new thing where they not really buying caskets now? They literally got these dead people up like mannequins, like,
right,
for a funeral now. And it's like, it's the weirdest. It's the weirdest thing. Like I think after they do it, I think they just cremate them, which is cheaper, but it's still like the weirdest thing ever. Like, anyways, so like just to embalm a body, it's like $1,200. And y'all up here with no life insurance trying to, you know, die, and then y'all die. And then, you know, you're doing these fish fry car washes, you asking people for money on a highway, shit like that. And y'all really need to take an account, like, embalming, you know, $1,200. And then, like, the service itself, like, it could range from $800 and up. A casket, a nice casket can run you $4,000 and up. The most expensive casket that I've actually seen was, like, $70,000. Why are y'all paying $70,000 for a casket and you just need one good flood for that water to, you know, to sink up in that casket? Like,
you're
fucking
dead. I never understood that. You're dead.
I have
seen
personally.
I don't get it. People spend guapos on caskets and funerals and just like the, like you said, the embalming process alone. First of all, cremate me. You ain't got to do all that.
Right.
Cremate me.
Right.
You ain't got to take my ashes home. Let them keep the shit. I'm dead, yo. You don't need to do all that. Just fucking pour one
right.
out for me and party. Don't,
right.
So
like,
this
I don't,
is my philosophy on being buried in funerals, right? So the money that you spend on my funeral is not for me. It is for you, right? Because I'm dead. There's nothing. You're not doing anything else for me. You know what I mean? So I told my family, you know, any of this money that I have, cremate me. You don't even have to do all the embalming and all that. Cremate me. You know what I mean? And use that money for your benefit, because that's what it is for me. You know what I mean?
So,
like, life insurance
right.
is money for the betterment of my next generation and my family.
You're right. So people, like, I had went literally to plan. I was with my godmom, and we went to go plan, you know, a funeral for somebody. And I'm just sitting there listening, and I'm like, y'all want, not only y'all getting embalmed, y'all getting dressed up, and that costs like $600 to
mm-hmm.
get dressed up, $600 to $700 for them to do, you know,
mm-hmm.
your hair, makeup, all that. And, like, you know, the church, the casket stuff. Funeral ended up coming to, like, almost $40,000. And
right.
I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, why? Why does it cost $40,000 to put somebody in the ground? You know what I'm saying? And none
Whoa,
of y'all
you
don't.
You
got to
realize,
like,
they make a commission on that.
No, I understand that. But it's still, like Akayla said, cremate me, all right? You're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ain't no put me in a casket. You might find something later on in life that can bring me back. Like, no. Once you're dead, you're dead. You can't come back. All right?
right.
People don't have the funds to do, you know, a funeral accordingly. And then I was talking to somebody else where, you know, I don't think they had a life insurance policy in place. They did not have a life insurance policy in place. But when you go and plan a funeral at the funeral home, they're either going to use a life insurance policy or whatever money it is that you know you have. But the thing is, if you
that's
do not furnish
yeah.
them funds when you go to that funeral, they're not going to give you that body. So you probably going
right.
to end up having a funeral with just a photo and no body. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just little things like that. And that's why, like I said, like, life insurance is important, or they'll even put your ass in a box for $500. Like, I've been hearing lately some crazy funeral stories on people, you know, having funerals, and there's just absolutely no money in place. Not saying you need to spend $40,000.
You want
to
hear them?
Oh, shit. Sure.
So myself end up at a lot of, like, when a person dies, I have to do the death claim. And I don't technically have to, but if a person is my client or one of the clients from the company that I inherited, you know, part of my job is customer service. So I go and I see the family, and I go, you know, I talk to them, I say whatever. So let me tell you about an opulent funeral that I went to. So I went to a funeral with a person that I hadn't sold the insurance to, but I inherited the client. I called him up. I talked to him previously before the man died. And, you know, they were an affluent black family in the church, you know, all that good stuff. So the husband passes away. And the wife calls me and is like, yeah, we're going to go down to the funeral. Can you please bring his policy documents? Because ours are a little, you know, ours are messed up. So I come down to the funeral home. I bring the policy documents. And I'm sitting in there as they talk to her about what her husband already ordered for his funeral. My man ordered a $40,000 silver and chrome plated casket.
Airtight. If you don't see it?
Silver.
Why? Why? You're
and
dead.
You know what? It's so funny because airtight caskets aren't really airtight. They only say that to you to sell it. They aren't.
Right,
they
aren't.
You need one good flood. That ground saturated. You got water, dirt, bugs. You got the casket's open. It's a wrap.
But you're rotting either way. You're rotting.
Right.
That's disgusting.
My question is, who is opening up the casket after it's buried?
Nobody
people
in those states
feel
like you died under false pretense. Like if
grave
they think
robbery.
Foul play, they'll open your casket. That's the only reason. So $40,000 silver and chrome casket, right? I don't believe that he's going to be buried with that silver and chrome on his casket, but whatever. I don't believe that they, because that's, like I said, that's a lot of money for that, just that silver and that chrome. So he got an airtight casket, plated with silver and chrome. Now, this is what he said he wanted. So we look at the casket, it's 40 grand. The service, or the all the stuff he said he wanted, anyway, the funeral would have equaled to about $90,000. He left her $1 million. He left her $1 million in life insurance money. So, you know, the guy at the funeral home is just trying to load up. Like, whatever, you know, crazy, extravagant crap that he can get her to look at, he was trying to get her to look at it because, like I said, they make a commission on that. Whatever they sell out of those catalogs, they get a percentage.
Ah, damn.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's their hustle, right? I'm not angry at it. Actually, I am because it's preying on
people.
Anyway, so
funeral business is very important, and it's a lot of money. I'm just letting y'all know. So go ahead.
I mean, so I go and I'm like I said, I'm a life insurance agent first. That was the first thing I ever was before I started putting people in investments, mutual funds, and all that. So I go and I talk to her separately, and I'm like, you don't need to do any of this. And she was like, why? This is my husband wanted. I was like, it don't matter. Like I'm very frank when I speak. So I was like, it don't matter what he wanted, he's dead. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not here. This is your money. You know what I mean? Like, $90,000, like, you're giving them 10% of your money for nothing. You know what I mean? Like, you're giving them 10% of your money for nothing.
Because that's what he wants. He ain't going to see it. He ain't going to know. He ain't
right,
have it.
Right. We're having this discussion, and the guy walks in, and he says, I'm disrespectful. And I don't honor the dead. And I was like, no, you're trying to prey on this lady in the time of need. Because there ain't no way that you would spend 90 grand on a day. You know what I'm saying? Because that's all this is. This is a day for somebody that died. If you want to spend 90 grand in his name, build a new building for your church. Educational center in your church for young children. You know what I'm saying? If that's
right.
What you want to do, but that would do more for his legacy than that. So when I said that, she started thinking and she changed her mind. She cremated her husband and took him home with her. With her. You know what I'm saying?
Sorry.
And she did that, and she really took some of that money and did better for other people with it. That leaves a legacy. You get what I mean? Not the opulent funeral.
That was smart. It didn't make sense to spend $90,000 on a funeral.
It don't make sense to spend $15,000 on a funeral, but people want
to
bury
people.
You don't even need to
spend $10,000 on a funeral. Like I just don't understand people talking about this is what they wanted. Bro.
Right.
You shouldn't spend more than
$5,000 on a funeral. That's a creepy.
These funeral homes make a whole bunch of money. Y'all spending all this money, then you getting fans and shit with their photos on it and prayer cards like video tributes.
Right.
Man, if you don't go pay the local, if you don't go use your phone and record it, like it's like a whole it's just so unrealistic. For funerals,
right.
And I will just never understand, you know. But you know, like I said, life insurance is important, so you have the money there to pay for something.
Right. So I dealt with a person that had no life insurance, and they did have life insurance, but they stopped paying it, and their family came to, you know, see what was up about, you know, burying them. And, you know, I had to tell them that there's no money here. Like, they stopped paying this a long time ago. There's nothing that the insurance company can do for you. And that is a rough, like, you know, my career is morbid a lot of times. Like, they pay me well to do what I do, but it's morbid. So I had to have this conversation with this lady about her family not being able to bury her husband because they stopped paying their life insurance early.
So what happened?
There's nothing that I could do.
So did they end up putting him in a cardboard box?
No, they put him in the state took care of it. And they bury you in an unmarked grave.
I mean, just put some flowers on it and just remember where it's at. I mean, that's their fault. You know what I'm saying? Like, you should just be a little bit more responsible, and then you're stressing because you don't have it. Why would you stop paying on it? Like, I understand things happen. But death happened too.
He stopped paying on it, and there was no reason for him to stop paying on it because it was cheap.
So she just stopped paying on it.
It's McDonald's money. Yeah, like, he stopped paying on it. It was $27 a month.
$27 a month.
You can always increase it. Like, you could change your policy, y'all. You don't have to be like stuck with the same policy. You can get a base. First of all, your life is gonna change. You're gonna have kids. You may get married. You may buy a house. That's what you're supposed to do in life. So therefore, you could start out with a basic policy the younger you are, and add on more as your as your money starts flowing in, as you start gaining more assets. Because at the end of the day, essentially, you just need to get your foot in the door. The thing is with us, some people, I had to get out of this. We feel like we need it all or nothing. And that's not the case. You can start small and add up. Because life insurance is very important beyond just you dying and it being a beneficiary and you know, your funeral costs and your family being okay. But, like, again, like, I don't know if y'all heard this, I'm going to repeat it. White people use that for generational wealth, meaning they clearly understand the investments of life insurance, and we don't. Because our asses love to go fucking do backwards-ass rich nigga shit. And rich nigga shit is that the most basic shit where you don't pay your taxes, you go to jail. Like, they fake rich type shit. So it's like, if you can take something, invest in it, put this side money away, and borrow from it and invest in something else in different ways, why not do that? Why, and also in the same aspect, protect yourself. Because anytime somebody brings up life insurance, you want to take a goddamn nap. Like, nobody wants to hear about this shit. It's morbid because it makes you think of death. But at the end of the day, like Bree and I were talking about earlier, Bree brought this up. You have to not only protect yourself, but you have to protect your children, especially all the single parents out here. You should damn sure have life insurance for your kids.
Oh, you should have. It's you should have enough life insurance. The reason as a single parent to have life insurance is, especially if the other parent isn't involved, if you're not here, somebody else has to take care of your child. Somebody else, preferably in your family, has to take care of your child. And if that child becomes a burden, what are they going to do with your kid? Like, let's just be honest about this. Look at that kid in foster care. If they don't have the money to take care of your child for the rest of whatever time they need to take care of them, they're going to put that kid in foster care. And you don't know how many kids I've seen had to go to foster care just because their parents didn't leave any money other than the money to bury them.
And when they get to that certain age where, like, 18, I hate when people act like when you're 18, you're really grown. No, nigga, that's where you need the most help. You want your children to have some type of cushion when they turn 18. You want your children to also have the additional cushion within getting to 25.
I wouldn't give them
because
I wouldn't give them
all
that money.
Because that is a very vital time period. I'm sorry, what?
I wouldn't give them all that money at 18. You can trust it out.
Exactly.
You know, where they get a certain amount of money. Yeah, you can trust it out where they get a certain amount of money every year. You know, if it's college money or money to start a business. There was a Nigerian lady that came to see me about a year ago, and she brought her son that had just graduated from college, right? And, you know, a lot of people, what do most people do when they graduate from college? They get a good job, right? He had just got his job. He was going to be making $70,000 a year. He was going to be he's in the tech field. He has a computer engineering degree, right? So they came to see me. He had been working for about a month, right? And he wanted to go and buy a new car and put a down payment on the house when he could. His mom said, no, you're going to take your money and start an investment account first. The reason why is because you get your life insurance and your investment straight before you start taking on debt. The more life insurance and money that you have put back before you start taking on debt, the better your scores will be when you do start taking on that debt, right? So you won't have to pay as much money, you know what I'm saying, in the long run on whatever debt you decide to take on if you have that stuff already taken care of. Like, life insurance leverages a lot of things. Like when they run that credit report and everything, and they see, oh, this person has $500,000 in life insurance with a participating dividend, you know what I'm saying? Like, they ask you about it, like, yeah, it's whole life, and it has a participating dividend. Oh, this person is fiscally responsible with their money. You're much less of a risk to that financial institution than somebody who doesn't have anything. You know what I mean? Which a lot of people at 24, 25, they don't really have anything. If anything, they maybe paid their rent on time and they had a car note. You know what I mean? But with that life insurance, you have an asset. Also, people don't realize that what you can do when you're buying a house, you can take out a life insurance policy and put it in the name of the bank. Get a term policy, put it in the name of the bank. And if you're not here, they know that house will be paid off. So that lowers the cost, that lowers the interest rate on your loan.
Oh, shit. So basically, yep. It's so many loopholes that you can use to enhance your life, but...
Life hack.
You basically got to do the research. I never knew that.
Right.
I'm going to go get me a mortgage now, y'all.
Make sure you
after
come
the information
the
you just said
right.
And the information that we had the other night, I think I'm ready for a mortgage.
Right. So let me get back to my man with his mom brought him to me. The reason they did that is because he's going to make more money over time, right? So his first little bit of disposable income, he used it for investments because he knows that in like two or three years, I'm going to be making more money. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get a $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 raise. So why would I not take this money now and grow it? And then when I get that raise, then I can splurge. But like I said, you buy life insurance and you invest, you know, over time, right? So if he was 24 when he came and saw me. You have to put less money in. The longer you put money in, the less money you have to put in every year, right? So if you want to retire at, let's say, 67, if you start now, you don't have to put as much money back as it takes to retire then, right? We're not going to have Social Security. Social Security is supposed to be obsolete in 2038. And the way it's looking and we're not paying taxes and all this stuff, it's starting to look like that might be real, right? So by the time we're 67, we're not going to have that to fall back on. It takes $2 million by the time we're ready to retire. To retire comfortably, it's going to cost you $2 million to live the last 20 to 25 years of your life. If you don't start investing soon, in quick fashion and hurry, it's going to start to become so overwhelming that even if you can make it, you're going to have to spend a lot of money just to get there.
So life insurance is basically an investment. That's all it is an investment.
It is. Like I said, it's the foundation of any solid investment portfolio. You get the most amount of benefit for the least amount of money.
Y'all, let's all get a life insurance policy. I'm getting one out on all of y'all. Can y'all
no,
have
no,
it on
bullshit. No bullshit. I'm actually
get one
no
on your crackhead uncle.
Wait, no, JD probably the best bet to get a life insurance policy on since he's in the military. Y'all, we getting a life insurance policy out on JD. Okay.
Well, actually, if he's active duty serving and he dies overseas, they won't pay that. That's how it works.
So because he's in the military, he can't get aid.
Yeah,
because
they have their own. They have their own. They have 400,000.
So
he is insured.
But okay, earlier we said we can have multiple
life
insurance policies, but it doesn't. It does not apply to military.
We can.
It does.
Yes, we can.
When you're home.
But he said when you're overseas. But so.
Oh.
So since I'm home, since I'm CONUS, basically, or CONUS, whatever, I can actually have my SGLIV or SGLV, and then I can actually invest also in life insurance that's outside of the military as well.
You can get, what happens is when you deploy, that turns off. You can still pay it, but it turns off as far as it'll pay if you die over there.
Yeah.
You get what I mean?
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing it, talking to somebody actually next week to get my shit done, to start investing in different things as well. Just because
you got me on the phone, so.
I would use you, but the only reason I'm not is because it's more so for military. There's more than just the life insurance. It's a whole getting finances together and everything else, too.
I'm a financial advisor.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Y'all need to text each other. Y'all need to contact each other. But other than that, if y'all don't have anything else, do y'all have any more questions?
And that was just the surface thing, right? So if any of y'all want to talk anymore, if anybody else on Twitter, you know, you'll tag me. So if they want to talk anymore, they can always DM me, and you know, we can go over it.
Okay, so this won't be posted until Monday because it's Friday. Everybody probably in the club drinking, and it's just going to be going on notice. So I'll post this Monday with information, tagging and stuff like that. So I'm going to need for y'all to go get, you know, some life insurance, stop with the GoFundMes and, you know, the fish fries and bugging people at stoplight. Be proactive, you know. Good shit like that. But other than that, I don't have anything else. So if y'all don't have no more questions, I'm going to go ahead and end this thing, and I'm going to see y'all next week, and I want y'all to have a good weekend.
Good night, y'all. Thank you. Bye.
Good night.
I appreciate it. I'm out.
All righty.